someone's always going to be disappointed or upset.
Yes.
But your mental health and your actual health is literally everything. So give yourself some grace. Cancel a party if you need to. But if you cancel, don't feel guilty.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Welcome back to another questionably awesome episode where my co-host Evans,
yes,
and I talk about all things that you might have thought were questionable to be awesome.
And
we prove that they're not. They truly are awesome.
They're all awesome.
They're all awesome. But you guys, for real, this is a podcast episode that is very different from the other podcasts. This is where we pretty much include anything that could be covered under a shenanigan.
Yep.
And we also like to throw a nugget of wisdom in there. So if you don't like to laugh, this is not.
Yeah, just go not to a serious one.
Go to an interview, go to a quickie. But this one is all about, like, you should probably drink four beers before you listen to us. I know it's 8 a.m. for many of
four
you right
beers.
Now, but just go straight to the fridge and grab four Schlitzes.
What's a Schlitz?
I think it's a Midwestern beer.
Oh, it sounds kind of light and refreshing.
You want a Schlitz?
Yeah. Hey, you want me to get you a Schlitz?
Hey, did you already Schlitz this morning?
But I also feel like that's kind of like, oh, I've got Schlitz all over my shirt. Is that a thing? I don't know.
Schlitz, it's going to, do you know what?
What?
I'm going to make it a thing today.
It's a thing.
It's a thing now. Like if you spill, you've Schlitzed.
Yeah,
you've Schlitzed. If you've gone to the bathroom, you've Schlitzed.
Yep.
If you've, what could be something positive? I mean, those are all positive, clearly.
You Schlitz confetti all over the place. And
oh,
really
I Schlitzed.
Oh, Marianne Schlitzed again.
This has so many meetings.
I so hope many it's not meetings. Bad. I'm going to Google it.
Oh, okay. Guys, I want to know what your favorite Schlitz is. So if you want to send us stories.
Yeah.
It just sure is a beer. I don't joke about beers that aren't beers.
Yeah. No, it's 100% a beer.
I recently watched, so you know when you're on an airplane, like, and it's a long ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like you start with movies that you're like, yeah, I'm interested in this. And all of a sudden you find yourself watching a beer documentary.
Yes.
I watched an entire 90-minute beer documentary and was so intrigued. And do you know what I ended up doing?
What?
I ordered two beers during it.
What?
Yeah. Like I've never ordered beer on a plane in my life. And I ordered like their fancy beer because
how fun is that?
It was super fun. And because they were going through, I believe it was mostly a documentary around the taste testers at Budweiser. And so each individual Budweiser brewery, this is actually quite interesting.
Yeah.
Has the top taste tester there who is like known for their palate. And what they do is at the end That's of cool. every single year, one of the taste testers gets like crowned like the best taste tester in Budweiser. It's like a super huge honor.
Wow.
So they send in all of their samples of Budweiser at the end of the year. So all of these different breweries from all over the world,
yeah,
send in their samples and they get rated on, you know, fruitiness, acidity, like all of the things that they rate them on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically go to battle. So it's this huge thing about like trying to make the perfect Budweiser. But when you think about
That's
it, you just
cool.
think it all comes from one spot and it's all the same. And
yeah,
I just thought that was so cool. I'm like, oh my God, every single place has a different... And these taste testers are like... So their palates are so... They have no idea what they're tasting. Mm-hmm. And it's quite crazy because there was a brewery in Asia that like every year they kept coming back kind of with the same flavor notes over and over. And I thought, mm-hmm. these tasters are that good that they have no idea what they're tasting. And they are
they know,
consistent in exactly what area has what flavors. And I also thought different areas like had different flavors. Like the person is tasting different notes. It's so weird.
That's very complicated.
It's so complicated. So anyway, you know what? I'm going to challenge you to watch a documentary on something totally outside of your norm and just allow yourself to learn something new so that when you're at dinner with new people, you seem interesting.
I love that. And it honestly makes me want to have an ice cold beer
right now.
Right now.
You know what? Maybe next time we're going to crack something open in the morning.
Crack open a Budweiser.
Doesn't mean we have to drink all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to. For me, it's kind of tough because if we cracked open a beer in the morning, it'd be like my third beer that morning.
That's true. So. You do love a beer in the morning.
No. I am not going to lie. I had a roommate who had an alcohol problem and she called it going to the beach in the morning and she would crack open a beer in the shower.
Oh, man.
She'd say, off to the beach.
And you're
if you want to know my background, that's about where it came from.
We did a thing in college when you'd be getting ready for a party. You'd be like, oh, you want a beer for the shower? We thought so cool. Or like, we're drinking a beer in the shower.
Yeah. What? Like, how are you going to shampoo your hair properly without a Budweiser in there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if I had a beer in the shower, I'd be toast.
Same.
Like, I can't.
Same. Somebody who's listening to this has recently had a beer in the shower.
Yeah.
Actually, I think probably not at all.
Yeah.
I think that's like not my audience, actually. Probably not.
They've had a LaCroix in the shower.
Oh, maybe.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, that does sound awfully refreshing.
I might try that.
Maybe not in the winter, like hot cocoa in the shower might be nice sometimes.
That's good.
All right. So do we have a quote?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, have you been up to?
Me?
Yeah.
I felt a little, we were talking earlier, feeling a little overwhelmed this holiday season.
Yeah. Is that a new feeling for the holiday?
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like I just think of December and start hyperventilating.
Me too.
And like, you know what? I could really use a decorated paper bag right now.
To breathe into heavily?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Heavily. Like, sometimes I just start tripping out on the future and like, oh my God, you got to be shitting me. I just went to a party. I have another party and another party and another party.
Right.
I'm already socially awkward.
I know.
Don't make me face that every day. And then don't make me eat sugar. And I'm like, I wasn't going to drink cocktails last night. Totally
and
did.
You do.
Good Lord. And I went to a party last night. So I'm feeling it.
And that's great. And then do you do the thing that I do, which is like the next day I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. Why do I always do this?
That's the part that actually kills me the most. So I'm trying to bring so much grace around that because it'll wake me up. I'll wake up at like 4 a.m. like after doing something that I'm like, oh, I promised myself I wasn't going to do that. And I'm like, you know what? It's that I'm just trying to bring in so much grace because I can't do that to myself anymore. It's like, it's literally crushing my soul.
Yeah, we're shaming ourselves.
Totally. And it doesn't help you make the next day better.
No.
It robs you of all your joy, all of your energy, all of those things. So it's so funny because I've been waking up like that. Like I'll be in a bit of a panic or I'll be super stressed out. And then I'm like, you know what? What are you going to do? Are you going to look back on your life and be like, you know, I'm so glad I didn't go to any parties or socialize or enjoy this time of year.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
We're going to get back to our routine. Mm-hmm. We're going to catch up on sleep.
Yep.
We're going to, you know, get back to our normal feelings and pant sizes.
Exactly. My pants are a little tight right now. Guess what?
Absolutely.
They'll fit sometime.
You know what? I look like a beautiful Christmas cupcake right now. Like a beautiful Christmas muffin.
Me too. I'm like one of those bushy trees that's really, really like wide.
Do you want to be a skinny tree?
No, heck no.
Nobody wants that.
You want a lot of shade. You want a lot of branches.
I want a skirt on the bottom of my tree.
Very fluffy.
So that's what I'm working on.
I agree. As my mom said to me the other day, she was like, you know what? There'll always be laundry to be done.
Yeah.
So it's like, go to the dang party.
It's so true. You will get back into your routine. Don't even worry. That's what January is all about. In fact, I would like to argue that your next year and your setup for next year would not feel the same and you wouldn't have the desire to want to create something to get back on track, to be excited about like getting very focused if you didn't have time to just kind of be so out of your normal routine.
Great point.
Like if this was like 3 months ago and I was like, yeah, I'm about to like, you know, change something or go hard on my normal routine, I'd be like, no, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. Boring.
So, yeah, you got to swing that pendulum. You really, really do.
Right.
So you know what? We be swinging.
We be swinging really hard right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure everybody listening is swinging pretty hard too. So
they're swinging their hands at the station.
At the station.
You know, like turning the knob.
Still don't get it.
I don't know. Do you know, want a quote?
Chris always tells me the best jokes are the ones you have to explain. So
that was a terrible joke. So we'll just move on from it.
I think I'm going to hope to get it later this afternoon.
I don't know.
I like that. Bad. Thank you. Here's the thing about jokes, you guys. I tell this to Chris all the time. I say that funny people are the most brave people, which you're one of the most funny people I know, because you have to put it out there. And it's not going to land. Like,
it's not.
Totally. Someone was just speaking at our mastermind and he was a stand-up comedian. He goes, you know, in order to be great, you have to be willing to bomb. And he goes, I had to be so willing to bomb and bomb all the time as a comedian. He goes, because you don't know what lands ever. Right. So don't use that one again.
I just, you know what? I'll put that in the back pocket for never. It's never coming back.
Somebody on here, many people on here got it and they're just,
no, they're like, God, thank God that's over.
Do you have a quote? Wait, review. Oh, what do we do first?
I think we do quotes first, don't we?
People are listening going, these dumbasses never know what they're doing.
You know,
which I hope it empowers you to know that you can do anything.
Right. You don't have to stick to a routine.
That's why we're pretending we don't know. Go ahead.
Exactly. My quote is from Maya Angelou. If you're always trying to be normal, you will never know how amazing you can be.
Ooh, doesn't that just talk about what we just said?
Yes.
Yeah. If you're always trying to make sure that things land and you're funny, you'll never actually be the funniest version of Evans.
Right. Just be yourself.
Be you.
Be you.
Not to be confused with PU. Do you remember saying PU all the time as a child?
Yes.
PU.
What did that even?
It means it's so stinky.
I know, but like, why is it PU? Does that, is it initials? P-U. Is it P-U, the letter P and U?
P-U.
I might have to Google that. Anyway.
You look that up while I give my quote. This is from Rumi. And I have a Rumi quote on my arm, actually.
Yeah. So,
let's give another Rumi quote.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to get questions about what the Rumi quote on my arm is. It is, there is a voice that doesn't use words. Listen. All right. Ooh. This quote, though, from Rumi is, sorrow prepares you for joy. It violently sweeps everything out of your house so that new joy can find space to enter. It shakes the yellow leaves from the bow of your heart so that fresh green leaves can grow in their place. It pulls up the rotten roots so that new roots hidden beneath have room to grow. Whatever sorrow shakes from your heart, far better things will take their place.
I love that.
It's so beautiful because contrast is what makes things what they are. Mm-hmm. Contrast is what makes you experience joy. So
exactly.
Whenever I'm in a place where I'm like wishing it away, I'm like, oh, this is, yes. Is it ideal to be sitting in this space for a long period of time or a year or two? No.
Right.
But my God, a good year must be coming. I had so many years like that where, you know, once you have like a really great year and you're like, whoa, like things are just happening. You feel really good. There's a lot of great things entering. Sometimes you get like a 3 or 4 year period.
Yeah.
Where it's just, you're kind of living and you're creating joy and you need to, those years are teaching you to get really present and be happy with what is and accept what is, because it can't always be highs.
Nope.
Yeah.
When you're in the trenches, sometimes it's hard to see like, oh, am I ever going to get out of this? But you're creating
totally
something.
How it feels. You are. You're totally creating something. You're becoming something.
Exactly.
Like you are becoming that beautiful diamond under pressure.
Oh yeah. You know? We love a diamond.
We love a good diamond. Actually, things are changing with diamonds.
Yeah, you don't need a diamond.
You don't. And people are getting, what is it called? It's a new version of a diamond.
Oh, the ones they make?
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, totally. Like, why would you spend so much money on a diamond anymore? Now, if people love it, great. If that has meaning for them, spend away. But if you could get a larger stone, if that's what you want, like a big, beautiful ring of whatever.
Right.
You can totally do that.
You can do anything you want now.
Whatever you want.
You can buy yourself. You can get engaged to yourself.
You know what? Can I still do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to ask myself out later.
I might buy myself a new fake diamond ring.
Me too, because you know what? We deserve it.
And you know what? I have a right hand.
Me too.
That one's for me. You're like, this one was for Chris. This one's for me. This one's
for me.
Yeah. What do we have? A review of the week?
Oh, we have a review of the week. And it is from Carl Bird.
Mm.
Carl Bird 18. It's really nice. The Earn Your Happy podcast is the fuel for my fire and never fails to bring me a spark of joy into life. A big spark.
Ooh.
Every Wednesday morning, Lori and Evans join me for my morning workout, motivating me to keep working on my dreams in their fun and silly ways. On more than one occasion, people stop to ask me why I'm smiling and giggling so much during my workout. And I love to recommend the podcast to them. My friends and I have inside jokes inspired by Lori and Evans' witty conversation, parentheses juggernaut. And I feel like we're all one big tribe cheering each other on, cheering each other's dreams and celebrating our authenticity. Wow. Whenever I'm feeling anxious or down on myself, I'll revisit Lori's Quickies for an instant dose of motivation or the questionably awesome episodes to remind me that life is meant to be enjoyed. I have it in my vision board to one day meet Lori and Evans and attend the Bliss Project. What?
Oh, happening.
Thank you for shining and sharing your irreplaceable awesomeness. Awesomeness. Chelsea Bird.
Chelsea Bird.
Chelsea Bird.
That's freaking amazing. That Chelsea Bird. Chelsea Bird, I'm about to do something crazy.
What? What are you going to do?
You're coming to Bliss, Evans.
I know.
Chelsea Bird, if you write customer service, I'm going to give you free Bliss tickets.
Stop it right now. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm totally serious. I loved that so much. And why not?
This is like Oprah.
Chelsea Bird, you don't get a car, but you get a Bliss Project ticket. So you better write this
in. Oh my gosh.
And if you're Chelsea working Bird. Out right now, I want you to just drop it like it's hot for everybody. Just drop Chelsea it down Bird. Low and be like, blip, 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 blip,
That's what
you juggernaut, you. I hope we get to meet you.
I can't wait to meet Chelsea Bird.
Chelsea Bird, this ticket is non-transferable if you can't make it.
Yeah, get your butt so
get
to
your butt there.
Marina Del Rey.
Marina Del Rey. Hey, what are you excited about Bliss this year?
Oh, I'm really excited about everyone that comes.
Yeah.
Because you get to meet so many wonderful women.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't wait to see what you do this year.
I can't wait to find out what that is.
I know.
That's great.
It's going to be so good.
It's crazy. Once I get into the, I used to like stress so hard. Like, I don't know what the beginning is yet, but once I get into the vortex of like switching gears, because right now there's just so many different things leading up to it. Like I still have right. Event love to focus on. I'm in that vortex. Mm-hmm. I have learned so much about what it actually means to trust that you are supported, because I know that once I mentally switch gears into planning for it, everything mm-hmm. opens up and things start flowing to me. It's just that I'm not opening right. that channel yet. Because it's too much all at once. So
yeah.
Anyway, for anybody who is planning something or worried that they're not going to know or they don't know, it's simply because it's not time yet and it's not your focus yet. So once exactly. you shift into those gears and focus on, it's about focusing on what is present now. Mm-hmm. So if your thing is not present now, that's a big reason why it's not like everything's not flowing to you, but it will. And you have to have faith on that one. So
I love that.
What's our question?
Okay, well, these are all about joy. And this is from @al.lands. What do you do when you feel like nothing is joyful?
What do you do when you feel like nothing's joyful?
I liked this question because everyone has been there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you're your best advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I kind of have a little checklist of like, am I doing all the things? Like, am I eating well? Am I sleeping? Am I taking care of myself? And then if it's like, oh, this feels like a heavier thing, I'm not a medical professional, but for me, like seeking professional help has helped me in the past. If it's like, wow, I'm really low.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's something like that, but I would encourage that person to seek that kind of help if they think that would help them. Or is it like a little teeny tiny twist of things where maybe you just need to get more sleep and maybe you need to talk to your boss about your workload or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Those are a million good things. That is, I think that's probably the best place to start is a self-assessment. How, honestly, a question I ask is like, how much help do I need?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a Chris thing that I could talk to him about? Is this a friend thing? Do I need to call in like a friend circle? Do I need to get really vulnerable if I don't feel like I have the right people in my life to ask this question? And like either reach out to somebody, reach out to a therapist. Do I need to reach out to a coach? What do I need? Like, because we cannot do it alone. I remember there was a point where this was a while back. I was in my early 20s, but there was a point where I felt so out of control with food mm-hmm. that I was like, if I don't call somebody in, this is like a serious, it felt like a serious like disorder. Yeah. Like I could not, and I couldn't get out myself. So I needed to call in coaches and friends and like share what I was struggling with. Mm-hmm. It was such a massive cycle of binge eating that it was like, I didn't know how to get out myself. So yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. That was one thing that I knew. I was literally in the gym and I was just like breaking down because I was like, I can't go on my life right. like this, like fearing food, not enjoying social settings. Mm-hmm. So I think for that, I knew I needed help. I was like, I need to seek help.
You can just tell. I think you know when something's not right.
I was in the same cycle again, over and over. It was like a Monday and I just hated myself. Like, and I couldn't, I was like, I can't live with this loathing. This is horrendous. So seeking help, that's just one example. I have multiple moments like that where I'm like very aware that I'm not going to dig myself out of this one by myself. So, and it's so crazy to me that we think we're supposed to do it alone. Like, holy crap. How can we be on this planet that's just like bursting at the seams with human beings and we're isolating more and more and more? And we are so meant to be tribal. Like we would not have survived in the past. That's the problem with so much, you know, just with social media is a huge blessing, but that's the problem with so much technology and social media is we are able to now live without people. But I would argue that we might be physically here, but emotionally we're dead.
I agree.
So don't do that to yourself. Don't cut yourself off. It is a journey just to start collecting, gathering, and meeting people. But hasn't it just changed your life?
Yes.
Like even these Thursdays have changed my life.
Me too. It's the best.
It really, like just the connection and the reminder of who I am at the core. Mm-hmm. Clearly a very funny person.
Yeah, an amazing human.
Same with you.
Exactly. Funniest person ever.
Funniest person ever. You need that reminder once a week. Support yourself.
Support yourself.
Do it.
Because ain't nobody going to come do it for you.
Unfortunately, no.
No.
Not even your husband.
Nope.
Especially if you're relying on your partner, your mom, or your children. You're super foobard.
Right.
Do you remember that word?
What's super foobard?
Like it's supposed to be like effed.
Oh, super foobard. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Mental library of sorts.
I liked
probably
it.
The Midwest. Do you have another cue?
Oh, yeah. This is from at Brit Gal Pew. Brit Gal Pew? Sorry. I really mispronounced that. How do you help find joy within? How do you help people find joy within themselves and stop relying on you for their joy?
Well, dang.
Whoa, Brittany.
Mm. This one's hitting. Hitting close to the homestead.
Yeah.
This has super been in my past, but very much also, it can still arise sometimes now. Mm-hmm. So how do you, say that again so I can clarify. How do you help other people find their joy when they're relying on you?
Yes.
This is going to be one of the hardest things that you will hear. Man. And that is sometimes you have to create a massive boundary. Mm-hmm. Remove yourself from the situation and not be there for them in the same way that you were.
Yeah.
Not let them lean on you because they're leaning because you're allowing it, because you're showing up as a constant pillar and something in your life, energy, or way of acting is telling them that they can lean on you and you will show up or support them in that way. So this is completely an ownership thing of, I continue to allow them to throw this burden of me being their purpose and joy. And it's going to require either a conversation or an energetic cutoff and also a physical cutoff, meaning like if they are texting you, if they're saying things like, I don't see you enough. Why? When you're seeing them, you have to tell them why that makes you feel a certain way. Like, you know what? Life is busy. I love you. I want to support you. But when you say this, sometimes I can feel this is how it can make me feel. Whether you are meaning to do that or not, I understand that you may not be meaning to make me feel that way at all, but it makes me feel like I'm not enough for you. and I'm, you know, focused on X, Y, and Z right now. I love you. What's a way that we could, you know, have a win-win conversation and see each other and see if we can compromise on that, you know, something around that.
Yeah.
How about for you? Have you ever had a loved one, your mom, your dad, a spouse, a friend, mm-hmm. a friend from the past, like really rely on you for their joy?
Yes. I think this happened as when I got married, I had to remind my, or one of my older friends who's like my mom's age mm-hmm. had to remind me like, you're not responsible for other people's happiness.
Yeah.
So you can't be like, oh, why isn't this person having a good time? Or why aren't they more joyful? Or da, 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 da. And it's not up to you. You can't nope. take that. What is that? A burden? Yeah, yeah. It's a huge burden. Mm-hmm. And if someone's relying on you, like that's on them.
Totally.
I don't know how to stop it. I think it's just kind of mentally checking in with yourself and mm-hmm. giving yourself some space from them.
You know, I've literally 1,000,000%. I've had to sit at like dinners, lunches, whatever that looks like mm-hmm. with a big group of people, whether it's family or friends or whatever, where there is one person who is not having any fun and the whole group is having fun.
Right.
And here's where what I used to do and here's where what I still fall into the trap of. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge people pleaser. I want to make sure that person is okay. I take it on as my responsibility, just like you just said.
Right.
And what would normally happen is I would take my focus away from having fun and all the joy that I'm having with everyone else. And I would focus, I would just hone in on that one person. Yes. I'd start to be like, what's wrong? I'd start not even say what's wrong. I'd start to try to make them laugh. I'd put all of my energy into making them have a better experience.
Oh yeah.
And they wouldn't, or I'd put all my focus there, even though maybe I'm still talking to other people. All of my focus would be like, they're not having fun. Oh my God, I feel their energy. Oh my gosh, yes. This is awful. Oh, this is ruining my time. Why aren't they having fun? This is terrible. And maybe they're sitting there with their arms crossed and I'm just like so bent out of shape over this one person not having a good time. And then I talk about it in the car on the ride home.
Yes.
And then I carry it the next day. I'm not doing that anymore. It happens quite often in different situations, whether that's, you know, just in your business life or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. What you focus on is what you experience. And you cannot control or take the responsibility no matter what, no matter where you are. If you are showing up in a way that is positive and you've done your work and you've maybe the party is your party. If you know that you've done what you can to create a good environment,
right.
It is not your job to be the person who makes sure someone is feeling included.
It's so hard.
It's literally not. Like if you've done your work on like inviting people, like getting people to go, like going up and talking to them once or whatever that looks like.
Yes.
It is not your job to go around and hold their hand or make sure that they are okay. Like
so true.
I am going to ignore it mm-hmm. the best that I can.
That's all you can do. You can only do what so much.
I'm not going to let it rob me of my joy anymore.
Yeah. It's not like you have to be a mean person. You included them. You invited them. You're surrounded by joyful people.
Yep.
Then it's like, hey, it's up to you to choose joy or not in this moment.
Totally. Or that one person who always like needs attention. And if they're not getting the attention, they pout.
Yes.
Yeah. That one.
Yep. Cutting you off.
Sorry.
I've been there before too.
Yeah.
Been the person who's a pouter.
Me too. So as much as I'm preaching, I'm also preaching to myself.
Me too, because I definitely do that with Adam. I'm like, why aren't you paying attention to me?
Oh yeah. That used to be a huge thing in the beginning of Chris and I's marriage. I was just like needed. Oh, it was bad. Oh, real bad.
It's so silly.
Now I'm just like, oh, he energetically cuts me off. So I'm like, oh, I actually know that now when I act that way, I'm like getting cut off quick.
Right.
So he taught me that he was not going to reward my shitty ass behavior.
Yeah.
So you need to teach that person. And look at now, now I do not do that anymore in our marriage, like ever. Mm-hmm. So now, like that is what you will do for that person. In the beginning, it's going to feel terrible. You're going to feel like a massive asshole.
Yeah. But you're not.
You're not. You're actually teaching them that you're not going to reward that behavior by giving them attention. No. That's what happens. That's why a toddler or a child keeps acting out as if you keep rewarding that attention. Now, I don't have kids. So yeah. Someone with kids is like, you're an idiot.
I don't have kids either, but I've seen it happen.
That's like rewarding my dog for whenever she goes to the kitchen, I give her a treat now because she's now trained me that she keeps barking at me and I give in.
Yeah.
And if I wouldn't have given in, like my brother-in-law, Nick, comes over and he's like, you are, this is ridiculous. You're so, yeah. your dog has you trained. Cause he, you know, is such a, like.
He's a good dog dad.
He's a good dog Discipline. Dad. Very disciplined. The dog is so good. Waffles, on the other hand, runs my show.
So does George. He runs my life.
Oh, for sure. And she has now, Evans, started barking at me at night. Like around.
Treat?
Oh, yeah. So then I go get her one and then I sit down and then she starts growling and barking at me.
Are you serious?
It's got to stop.
I don't think it should stop though, because Waffles deserves all the treats.
I totally agree. I yell at her. I go, why are you bullying me? And then she does it more and I go get more treats.
Yeah, because she's just so dang cute.
So if this is a telltale sign of what I'll be like with my children, it's going to be
a great
bad.
Parent.
Yeah, it's going to be real bad. Well, what do you think?
What do you think? Are we done? What are we doing?
You know, let's go to some wisdom.
Oh, you should go first this time. I always go first.
I feel like
what's your wisdom around joy in the holiday season? It's the holiday season.
Do 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 do. Meaning phantom. Hickory dock, I believe they say in there.
Hickory dickory dock.
Like who says hickory dock?
Oh yeah.
Don't forget to wind back your clocks. They don't say that. Someone's like, that's not what they say. But all right.
Yeah, I like it.
I liked it. Joy around the holiday season. Damn, give yourself some grace. Because
preach.
If you have 5, 10, 20 extra pounds on, enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
You could die tomorrow. I'm just being honest. Like yeah. we do not take it serious enough that our lives do not last that long. And nobody gives a rip about if you've gained a couple pounds or
yeah.
you know, how you show up at the party. And you know what else? Cancel a party if you need to. To be honest
Amen.
With you, nobody actually cares if you're there or not. Sorry. Right.
Sorry, we don't care if you're there or not.
It's true. Like when people cancel on me for parties, I'm a little disappointed for like 30 seconds. And then I'm like, great. The people who are there are going to be great.
Right.
And if someone is disappointed or upset, like it does, someone's always going to be disappointed or upset.
Yes.
But your mental health and your actual health is literally everything. So give yourself some grace. Cancel a party if you need to. Yeah. But if you cancel, don't feel guilty. If you know you're going to sit home on the couch feeling more guilty than if you went, like worse at home than if you went, just go.
Yeah, just go.
Buck up, put your ornament underwear on and yep. get your ass out there.
Those ornament undies will really help.
Yeah, totally. And like we said, if it's an awkward situation, you toot and walk away.
Yeah, you just get diarrhea. That's a great way to get out of a party. Just be like, I got diarrhea.
Yeah. To be totally honest. And if you really want to actually get diarrhea, you could, there's a stuff that I take. It's called Calm. The dose is 1 teaspoon, but you could take like four teaspoons.
But don't do that.
Well, if you really want to get out of it and be like, no, I really have it. Like some people are on here like, I can't lie like that. So if you want to create a, if you want to create a truth, by the way, if you're going to ask me about Calm, it is the world's best. Like method to go to the bathroom in the morning and to fall asleep at night. Because what's in it?
Yeah.
I can't remember what's in it.
Some kind of
starts with an M.
Magnesium.
So it's like you can get it at Whole Foods. This is not an ad, but my God, I wonder if they'd sponsor the podcast. Wouldn't that just be the best if a poop inducer sponsors Questionably Awesome?
Yes, because I think it's very on brand.
It's so on brand.
It's so on brand.
And then maybe we could also find a natural poop spray.
Yeah.
So it goes hand in hand. It could be like, we're going to give you a treat and we're going to cover that treat up.
Yes. And this time of year, there's a lot of pooping going on.
There is. And maybe we could find something, a poop spray that smells like gingerbread cookies. Warm gingerbread cookies.
That does not. I don't like that.
Oh, well, the heat is provided by you.
Don't like that.
She just wants to stop talking about it. But wouldn't that be nice? They're like, wait, that's the bathroom, but were you baking?
Were you baking some gingerbread in there?
As a matter of fact, I did. You know, we could start calling it the bakery. Chris calls it the woodshed.
What?
He's like, did you visit the woodshed? And I'm like, absolutely. I made
Chris
lots of
would
carvings
call it
today.
The woodshed. That is the most ridiculous thing. And I love it.
It's so stupid and awful and amazing. So
just
anyway,
go to the woodshed.
Yeah, I'm like, yep.
Did we meet our quota for poop talk today?
We just did.
Oh, good job.
Ding.
Good job.
Ding. We need a meter. All right, guys. So I'm so, so grateful for all of the people who have stayed on this long.
I know. You guys deserve a medal.
You really do. And until next time, make it questionably awesome.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.